The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
All right, it's 4 p.m. on Wall Street. Do you know where your money is?
Welcome to Financial Issues, where we align reality with truth. Conservative talk radio you can count on. Financial issues that you need to know.
We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
We will simply apply to government the common sense that we all use in our daily lives.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning, 610-363-1110. That's our phone lines. Today is Rapid Fire Friday. It is June 25th. Thank you for being with us. You might want to queue your call up. You'll be the first call we take. Our lines just opened. It is Rapid Fire. What we do in Rapid Fire is we go through 2 hours and 45 minutes of trying to get to as many questions as we possibly can. But we ask you to do your part. It's not the day for the long, complicated question about a trust of a trust that's irrevocable and one that's revocable and what. I mean, it's not the time for that. Try to keep your questions and your comments short, pithy, to the point. You can have more than one question. I'll give you two, I guess. I don't want to get carried away, but make them short and get right to the point. Whatever background I need about the question, I will ask you. So if you can do that, that would be great. 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110, and you can give us a call. So rapid fire, we'll try to move through as many calls as possible. It's summertime, so we usually, we might have a gap, but I would keep trying the number. Eventually, somebody's going to drop or lose a cell signal or won't answer call, and you'll get in. So hopefully you will do that. It's a good time to queue your call up. All right, 610-363-1110. Let's just review a couple things here as quick as I possibly can before we get going. The markets, all the futures are in positive territory. We'll see if that holds, but right now everything is in positive territory. We did have the Dow did see a rise about 89 points, hit a new record high. The S&P S&P closed at a record high. The Dow futures up 89 points, S&P futures and NASDAQ up about 100 points in very positive territory based on what we have seen. So well, hopefully that will continue to move along. The key inflation indicator that the Federal Reserve watches very closely came out this morning, and it rose 3.4% in the month of May. That's the fastest increase in inflation since the early 1990s. Yes, 1990s. The Commerce Department reported on Friday, though the gain was the biggest in 30 years, it met the Dow Jones estimate and market that the Dow Jones had estimated, and markets react very little on the news. Well, it doesn't matter what the markets did. It's pretty irrelevant. There's been a disconnect between markets and the economy for all but 3 out of the last 20 years. So, that's to be expected. The core personal consumption expenditures price index increased, reflecting a rapid pace of economic expansion. Whoa, wait a minute. You're skipping over something there. A rapid growth in economic expansion. So price pressures are amplified. Well, look, it's hard. It's hard to continue to try to put lipstick on things as the media tries to do. But look, yeah, I don't disagree with that. Prices were amplified because a lot of people were buying stuff. Okay. What's that got to do with the rapid pace of inflation? Somebody tell me. What's that got to do with it? It's got nothing to do with it. Of course it's amplified. There were a lot of people buying stuff. There was a lot of goods. There were goods and services that were purchased. So how far the nation has come since the pandemic has been introduced and the shutdown of 2020 really plays little, has a little consequence on the index. Not that it doesn't have any, certainly it has some, but the fact of the matter is the core indexes rose. Not the core index rose a half of 1%. Who cares about core index? I don't care about core index, but I would say this, if the core index rose a half of 1%, that would be contributing a great deal, obviously, to the actual estimate of food. I believe that inflation's got to be 10 or 12% right now. I know that sounds crazy and out of line, but the numbers just add up. So when you include food and energy, the index rose 3.9% for the year. 4% inflation. We haven't seen that since the Clinton years. 4% inflation, and everybody's blowing it off. And yes, the Federal Reserve did comment, and they still said it's transitory. So let me just give you an example. Let's just say 1.5% of it is transitory. It is still an enormous increase in inflation. And a lot of that is due to cost of wages and cost to employers for employees. That's a lot of it. We see it here in the ministry. The employer in the ministry doesn't see it. I mean, the employee doesn't see it. Obviously, we see it, and that is happening on much larger scales across the board. So the headline increase was the biggest since August 2008. Do I need to remind you what happened in October 2008? Now, I am not relating. I don't want to relate to say, okay, we've got a month and a half, and it's going to hit. No, I'm not saying that at all. We're in very different circumstances today. All I'm trying to make a point for is the numbers finally are bearing what I said inflation has been and what it's going to be. I've been talking about this for a long time. If anybody's listened to this program for any length of time and you are surprised, you haven't really listened for any length of time. If anybody is a partner of the ministry, you're really not surprised, because I would hope that most of you have heard one of the conference calls in the last 3 months. So you've been hearing me talk about this. Yes, there are transitory aspects of all inflation. That is true. I don't deny that. But the fact of the matter is, some of this inflation is not only permanent, it can't be anything but permanent because the type of inflation that it is. So, nobody wants to be worried about it. Nobody cares about it. Perhaps this is playing in the hand of the puppeteers that are running the administration. Maybe. But if we need another catastrophe crisis to further along the agenda of the far left, if we need that, it may be right around the bend. Just saying. I also want to say that President Biden and a group of senators agreed to roughly $1 trillion worth of infrastructure plan. The White House is indicating that negotiators and a group of senators struck the deal in a bipartisan infrastructure agreement on yesterday. And fortunately, have slashed a lot of the measures to combat climate change. I'll be right back. Thank you for your comments about the our Bible study this morning. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. All of you that commented, thank you. Means a lot. All right. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Let me just finish my thoughts up real quick about this. This looks like an agreement that is reached on infrastructure. It is only $1 trillion. So that's good news. But they've pulled out all the global warming stuff, all the combat climate change kinds of greed things. So I would imagine that all the clean energy things that have been pulled out will be put back in. Otherwise, the intelligence organizations of Hollywood are going to go nuts. And that's not going to play well because we don't want to hurt the intelligence community of Hollywood. So that could be a real problem. The infrastructure deal leaves President Biden's proposal on climate change to be a separate bill. That's a problem. A separate bill that Democrats could attempt to pass through Congress using a reconciliation process that doesn't require Republican support. Now, here's the problem with that. I wonder if that's why H.R. 1 wasn't attached to the reconciliation bill, because you're only allowed, I'm not certain of this, I think two times, to be able to add things onto the reconciliation bill or a spending bill, and they didn't want to use up one of those spots because they want to make sure they get their global warming stuff in there. I'm just saying, could be, I don't know. The second package, also the other new bill, another bill that could come out for approval, which this wouldn't be attached to reconciliation in all likelihood, because this would actually be a good thing if it doesn't pass, because it'll allow the Democrats to blame Republicans for not caring about what they're calling human infrastructure. I'm not sure where human infrastructure is, but human infrastructure, in other words, child care programs, elder care programs, education, health care, in addition to some climate change measures. So we're going to see another bill, obviously, that is going to take all those compromises that they took out of this bill and get it back into another bill. And they're going to wrap it up in this human infrastructure kinds of process and blame the Republicans for not caring about children and elderly. That's what's likely to happen. The climate issues will be wrapped up in a reconciliation amendment, which they'll probably put forth that way, which is nice because that would allow the Republicans to say, look at what they've done to get in debt over trying desperately to get an electric car in every driveway as if that's going to solve the problem. These are Democrats. They haven't figured out that the electric car that has to get plugged in runs through fossil fuel power plants. They haven't figured that out. You know how, well, we're having a heat wave in the country. The power plants are really being taxed here and it's a problem. Please try to cut your air conditioning down. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. So we'll hear, I guess the new thing would be, hey, you're going to have to not drive so much. You're going to have to cut back. We are going on an odd even system. If your license plate ends in an odd number, then on an odd day of the week, you're allowed to charge your car. Oh, that's good. So I can only charge my car that can only go 200 miles to begin with on every other day. So it's going to take me roughly about 6 days to go 600 miles. Oh, that's great. So, I mean, they're not even thinking about this because power plants are going to be throwing up a ton of smoke up those stacks in an effort to charge all these electric vehicles. They haven't figured that out. They haven't. Now, I know they have. They can't be that dumb, right? Can they? I don't think they can. Maybe they can. Maybe they are. I don't know. But we're going to see You know, they're talking about electric buses, transit. So all that stuff's good. Look, I know we've got to be good steward of our environment. This is God's creation. We need to be good stewards of it. And I'm all for it. I get that. But first of all, there have been periods of warming and freezing for all of eternity. So this is no different. And so they say scientists are up in arms over this. What scientists might that be? They would be the scientists on the far left, right? They really can't back up what they're saying. How about the other scientists? Are they having some sort of organization of scientists? Look, I'm not denying that the spewing of the carbon that is continuing to happen, that could be a problem. Not denying that. I mean, sure, we don't want to continue to do that. We want to try to keep our cities, our airs clean. I mean, absolutely. I'm all for it. But can we just think through it a little bit and not have to? I don't really believe that we have to mandate it. We don't have any legislation about this. And last year, we were the lowest developed nation in the country that had signed on to the Paris thing, and then we pulled our signature off it. We did less carbon emissions than any other country that was all in on the Paris warming accord or whatever the stupid thing is called. I forget. But we weren't even in it. But we did our part. It's what free markets do. We don't live in France. We don't need a mandate. We're going to do what's right. We'll gladly do it. But understand that we will get to renewable energy as a routine. We will get there. We will have renewable energy to drive us into the future. Our technology will allow for it. It will get built. We will build the infrastructure that's necessary for it in the long term. But we're not going to get there unless it's on the back of fossil fuel, and they don't realize that. So little by little, we'll get there. Anyway, that's what's happening on that point. So the big news that we're going to take away and go into the weekend on is the inflation news. It's not big news to all of you. You listen to this program and you have been for years. Most of you, you get it. You understand. You've heard me say it. And that's that. Now, some of you listen to everybody and you don't know what to believe. So I can't help you with that. But, you know, we knew this was coming. We saw it. And again, I think it is pretty safe to say, instead of my speculating about it, that the Federal Reserve once again is going to remain behind the curve. They're going to remain behind the curve. They will not, and I've been saying this for 2 months, let me reiterate it again in case you missed it, they will not be able to fix out of control inflation. I don't care if they raise rates by 200 points. They're not going to fix it. Once it takes hold and it continues to run, the higher interest rates, the cooling off of the economy, first of all, the economy will already be cooled by the time they do it, because there is a self cooling mechanism. It's called higher prices, lower spending, lower productivity, need for layoffs, and recession. It will happen organically, but the Fed is going to exacerbate it and make it a lot worse than it normally would have been. The only thing the Federal Reserve can do is Monday raise interest rates 12 and a half basis points. That's an eighth of 1%. Only to show that they are going to watch this. If they have to do another eighth in 6 weeks, then do it. But it would be far better to start now, make the dollar stronger. That will impact commodity inflation in a in a positive way, it'll decrease that inflation. It'll begin to help as the dollar is growing in strength organically already. So this notion, listen, we have far higher, I know they're talking 4% inflation this year. It's got to be 10, maybe 11, maybe 12. It's got to be 10. And it's going to rear its ugly head. So who cares if it settles in at 8 when it's all said and done? But it is going to get worse. And the sooner the Federal Reserve stops bowing and worshiping at the feet of the Treasury Department, the better off we're going to be. The sooner the Federal Reserve remembers that they're an independent organization, and as soon as Jerome Powell comes to the realization, hey, Jerome, it really is irrelevant what they're whispering in your ear. In all likelihood, your history next year, you're going to be replaced. So if you're doing it to save your job, you might want to reconsider that and understand there will be no saving your job. So why don't you try to save the American economy? I'm just saying, Jerome, if you're listening. All right, 610-363-1110. Let me quick go to Jenny in North Carolina. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, how are you, Dan?
Good.
So I recently started my own cleaning business. I was at a job for 15 years and build a 401k with them. Mm-hmm. I had to take a small loan out. It's got about 8,000 left on it. Mm-hmm. My question is, so my previous job is okay with me staying there temporarily, like helping out on the weekends here and there.
Uh-huh.
But I'm kind of in limbo, either cutting them off and not doing that. So then the 401k I can transfer into my, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I still am going to have to pay the taxes on that loan. I just didn't know if you would recommend for the year me just staying with them.
Yeah, not only are you under 59 F, Jenny.
Yes.
Not only will you have to pay the taxes, you're going to have to pay a 10% penalty because they classify that as a early distribution. And you have to pay the penalty too. So I would think about that. I'll give you my answer as soon as I get back from this break, Jenny.
Okay.
We have lines open. Rapid Fire Friday. We're trying to move quickly through the calls. And we will get to your calls. We're on phones now. Let me go quickly back to Jenny. Jenny, I would tell you it's not a lot of money. I would probably be okay with you taking that money and moving on. If you really believe that you're not going to work there anymore, you don't really need to. If you think you're going to stay there part-time, I would leave it alone. But you could roll that over into an IRA account, but at least the loan portion is going to be taxable. I'd roll it over into an investment account right now and just start to contribute to it as much as you possibly can. But I think that would make the most sense.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Dan.
Jenny, I wish you all the best. That's great that it's a good time to be starting, and I wish you all the best, and I hope you do well. Thank you.
Oh, God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
610-363-1110. Let me go to Curtis. Curtis calling us from Texas. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for what you do.
Sure.
Appreciate you. I'm 66. I can have full retirement age, 66 years, 2 months. Mm-hmm. My question is, should I take it now or take it later? I talked to my brother. He said, take it now. My aunt and uncle, they're about 20 years older. They say, take it now. I'm calling Dan to see what Dan says.
Yeah, I mean, I would say take it if you need it. If you don't need it, why not take the 30-some percent raise and take it later? This notion, the notion, Curtis, that you hear is that while you can accumulate more and you can save it and you're going to get more from who, I promise you, I can't make you any promises except for this one. I promise you that someday, maybe when you're 75, maybe when you're 80, maybe when you're 70, I don't know. But there will be a day, the only thing you care about is how much you've got coming in every month. You're not going to say, well, I got the government for a lot more money. You're not going to care. You're going to care about your monthly income. And a 32% difference, that's one third more money in waiting to your 70. That's a lot of money. And if you are going to be using this Social Security as a, you know, a source that is going to be needed for your income, and you can afford to wait. I don't want anybody to suffer hardship because they're trying to wait till they're 70. That doesn't make sense. I wouldn't want that to happen. But if you can wait comfortably, you would be, you know, well served. I've talked to people that are in poor health, that maybe have a chronic illness, they don't feel they have longevity. And I've said, look, take it when you can. I mean, get it now. Get it as soon as you can. I mean, obviously, it becomes much, much a different situation. So that's what I would say to you. Everybody says take it, you know, as soon as you can. But if you were to talk to those same people later on and ask them if they could use another 300 hours a month, they all unlikely would have said yes. They would say yes, or whatever it might be. It might be more than that for some of them. So that's how I look at it. I've always looked at it. And by the way, just so you know, I'm always in the minority. So just about no matter who you talk to is going to tell you how wrong I am. But you asked me, so I told you what I thought.
Thank you so much.
All right, brother. I appreciate it, Curtis. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Let me go to Carmen in Texas. Hey, Carmen. Oh, okay. Yeah, what do we got?
Yep, so we've got a couple folks here on social. Mac from the website is saying, my daughter got approved for financing a home. She's a first-time buyer. Would it be better for her to go it alone or work with a realty agent? I've actually wondered this one too, Dan.
She's a first buyer?
Yeah, first-time buyer. Just got approved for financing.
Yeah. I think it's better to have a realtor that can search the entire universe of things for her. I mean, it doesn't cost anything to have a realtor when you're a buyer, because right. You know, that's on the buyers, those commissions. That's not on you.
Right.
So it's not going to change your settlement at all. And I think in the world that we're living in today, I think it makes more sense. Especially, I don't know where she lives, but if she's in an area like where we live, or in an area like Texas or certain parts of Texas and certain parts of like Las Vegas and Florida, I mean, man, you need all the help you can get, because the houses last about 3 hours when they go on the market. So you really need to get as much help as you can. Remember, it doesn't cost anything. Just get somebody that's not going to pressure you. Maybe somebody that is referred to you that, you know, is going to work with you without a whole lot of pressures or problems.
Very good. And then Jason from the website saying, I noticed some stocks that pass the Christian investing tool have social media accounts celebrating Pride Month. I suppose that is not enough to exclude them from passing the test. Is there more material support they go by? This sounds like something you addressed yesterday, actually, Dan.
Well, I don't know who they is, but I go by, everybody does it differently. Hmm. I care about the company money they're spending. So here's, if the company has a one-time contribution, they've got to at least have 4 or 5 violations to the point of where it becomes a trend. And the other thing I would suggest that you really research the website, because I guarantee you those websites also are showing companies doing things that companies haven't done in 15 years and they're still showing it. The situation yesterday was more about franchise owners, where the majority of these company stores are franchisees. When you go to the actual company website, you see nothing about that. It is the franchisees and other websites, left-leaning websites, that use it as if the company is supporting it. So if XYZ franchise owners are supporting something, then whatever, say they're supporting the LGBTQ, if they're supporting that, then the LGBTQ advocates are going to have banners on every website they can indicating that XYZ is supporting it. Why? Because they want ABC company that is a like company to see it. And to think, well, you know, our competition's doing it. Everybody, you know, it's a game they play, and they've been doing it for years. So all I can do, like I did on one particular company, is I look at the internal audit memos that they receive. It is public information, but they're not required to publicly show that. But you can get it. And I have a service that we pay about $17,000 a year for certain information from companies. And they gather that for us. So I went back the other night on one particular company and I looked at, again, thinking I missed something. I looked at all of that for the end of first quarter this year. Nothing. So everybody looks at things different. Listen, I know biblically responsible screeners say, well, this guy's, the CEO's wife works for or volunteers at Planned Parenthood, so they're not biblically responsible. That's noble, I guess, but it's ridiculous. They're not using company money. I put a company, an industrial company, back on my list because they stopped using company money to support something. The CEO is still supporting it, but is now using his own money. The poor guy only makes $38 million a year. So instead of using company money, I said, hey, use your own money if you love the agenda so much. Don't use company money. I can put you back on the list. But I can't do it if you're going to use my money. That's my money. I'm a stockholder. You understand, when you're a stockholder, you own the company. You're an owner. I'm an owner of the company. I don't want my money, or I don't want my dividend money. I'd rather it come to me in dividends. Don't support that garbage. But so everybody looks at it differently. We have to be careful of what we read and what we decide on. Let me go to Carmen. Carmen's calling us from Texas. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, good morning, Dan. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
And my question is, I inherited a small amount of money, about $27,000, and I'd like to put it in some sort of an investment account that would give me income. And I'm not really knowledgeable. I am a one of your partners, but I don't go online often because it really is a foreign language to me for the most part.
Yes.
So can you, I'm 71 years old,
uh-huh.
And I could use a little bit more income at this time.
Right.
So can you recommend
some
sort of an investment?
I would recommend that you put it in a good, strong utility company or two utility companies. So when you go on, at least sign on and go to the buy list, and you'll see utilities, it'll say UT.
Okay.
I would put it in two of those.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Six ten three six three eleven ten. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it. 610-363-1110. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We try to move as quick as possible. We ask you to be short to the point, and we'll try to do the same as we get to those. And our lines are open, so you're going to be the second call that I take here. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Drina in Georgia. Hey, Drina.
Hi, Dan. I had a question. I wanted your opinion on a financial organization called Thrivent. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I have my two accounts in there, the retirement, and I noticed lately that they started advertising on TV, and they've never done that before, and I didn't know if that would be something that I should be concerned about, that maybe they don't have enough people. I don't know how to explain it, but I guess I was just a little concerned.
Yeah, so I mean, look, it's not, I don't have too much problem with any real organization. There are one or two, but, you know, it's what they do with the money. That's what I care about.
Yeah.
And Thrivent is, you know, they're going to push you towards annuities if they haven't already. So that's number one. And if you don't have annuities and you keep putting money in, they will eventually ask you and try to get you to go into annuities. I don't know what you have. Do you know whether you're in an annuity or not?
Yeah, they are annuities. Yeah. They suggested that to me.
And yeah, they always do. They're not really, you know, I'm not saying they're not investment advisors, but they become insurance salesmen when they get people with money because the commissions are so good. And it's wrong. I don't think, you know, I'm not a fan of annuities, but unfortunately, it probably doesn't matter much. And what I mean by that is it would be hard to get out of those now because they have some pretty stiff surrender charges if you haven't been in it for too long.
Yeah, I found that out too.
Yeah. So, you know, they're just, I would be unfair for me to say, well, you know, they push annuities. Look, here's what I believe. I think if that you need a banking company, you go to a bank. If you need insurance, you go to an insurance company. If you need investments, you go to a real investment company, not agents, but okay, investment advisors that are, you know, can buy individual stocks. If you're not sure of that, say, I want to use individual stocks, whether you do or not. Say, I want to use some individual stocks. They will start dancing around that. So they'll say, well, we can't do it, but we really don't like to do it. We'd rather not. It means they can't do it and they won't do it. And they don't, or they don't want, just flat out don't want to do it because it's hard for them to make any money on that. But if they're registered investment advisors, RIAs, then they probably can do individual stocks. And that gives you at least you know if they can do that, and they say, oh, yeah, we do individual stocks. We have lots of portfolios that have various individual stocks in it. Then at least you know that's probably a better place for you to be.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think they do that either.
They don't. I know they don't do it. But
I was looking at where they were investing some of my money, and I wasn't too happy about it, but I guess I'll just have to leave it the way it is and maybe start something different.
You will. Yeah. I just wouldn't continue to do it. You know, just do what you've got. You got to hold on to that and move on to other, you know, somewhere else.
So should I still keep in, putting money in it monthly? Or
I would not.
Would not. Okay.
No, I would not. If it's an IRA annuity, if it's a, then I would just simply open an IRA at a brokerage account. And, you know, do it that way. And then, you know, someday you'll be able to roll that money over into your IRA account that you're opening up now.
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, Dan. All right. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Drina. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let me go to, by the way, we have lines open, 610-363-1110. Let me go to Dougie in Virginia. Hey, Dougie.
Hey there, handsome. I got one thing to shock you with. It's, I think the Chinese have vast amounts of our country property sold to them.
Yes.
They want a 16,000-foot airplane landing strip. What do the farmers need with something like that? I mean, bottom line, I think the Trojan horse is in our country.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Dougie. I mean, that's, you're talking about the solar, or I'm sorry, the wind plant that they are building in Texas with windmills 600 feet high. They're only about 60 miles away from a very strategic Air Force base. And why in the world they need an airstrip big enough to land a huge plane? It's a very long runway. It's just not a, it's not a crop dusting runway. So there's no need for that. It is too late to do it. It was approved, but the state legislators of Texas are doing a lot to keep it from happening again. It is a huge, huge problem. The biggest problem, as far as I'm concerned, is we've just given them an open gate into our electrical grid system because of this windmill farm. Not a good idea.
Yeah.
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 I'm with you, buddy.
Okay. God bless.
All right, Dougie. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Keep watching.
I'm watching. Don't worry. Thank you. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Kim in Louisiana. Hey, Kim.
Hi. I have a question for you. It's very similar to the very first caller. My boyfriend is retiring from teaching early. He only taught for 14 years. He's under 50. And he has an amount in like a pension account that probably is around $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
He was given the option of, I guess, taking it out. And so he was all about just taking it out and maybe paying off his student loans, which are probably around $15,000. But I was wondering if he should just keep paying on his student loans and roll that money. Can he roll that money over? Is he obligated to take it out?
He's not obligated to take it out. He can roll it into an IRA because if he takes it out, he's got to also pay tax on it. So
And that 10% fee, right?
Well, is he over 59 and a half or under? Under?
No, 48 years old.
Yeah, so he's going to have to pay the 10% plus his taxes. So obviously it would be much better to roll it over into just a traditional IRA. And then he can remove it out of there little by little if he wants and put it in an investment account or, something else. But I would not just take it. And yeah, I mean, if he's only $15,000 left on his student loans, I would work hard. I would try to, put more towards that in some way, shape, or form, continue to pay for it. If something happens and the student loans become really burdensome, to pay or something like that, or he doesn't, I hope doesn't fall behind, but could fall behind, then go ahead and take it out and pay it off. You always have the option to take it out if you want, but I wouldn't do it now. I would roll it over into an IRA account.
Then would you roll that into a Roth slowly over time?
Yes. Over time, slowly, I would move it over to a Roth. He won't have to pay the 10% penalty. He'd just have to pay the tax on it, and that would be a good thing to do.
One more question real quick. Then should he set up a SEP because he's going into home-based business also?
Yeah, if he's going into business for himself, then he's eligible to set up a SEP. And I don't know if I would do that as young as he is. I would probably max out the Roth IRA that he's going to set up if he wants to do IRA. And anything additional to that, I would put it in just a straight up investment account. Don't give the government anything more to look at and anything more to control. I think I think he would be better served to develop some wealth into just an investment account that is out of the long reach of regulatory issues and maybe even someday confiscation of qualified money.
Okay. like a Timothy, like you're always talking about.
Well, it doesn't. No, I mean, he can do it at Timothy, yes, or he can open up an account at a brokerage like a Fidelity.com or Schwab or TD Ameritrade or one of those, where he can, you know, do Timothy inside of those. Particularly those Timothy ETFs would be probably a good way for him to go, or he can go directly to Timothy. It doesn't matter, but I think that's what he should do as an investment account.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks, Kim. All right, folks, 610-363-1110. We just got a line open as Kim dropped. Quick, dial it up, 610-363-1110. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We've got two more hours. We're going to move quickly through the calls. We do have a little pause. We do have a little pause coming up here. First segment of the second hour, we do two things. We give our ag report, which is something we do for our farmers and our ranchers. We love being able to give them a little help in any way we can and minister to them in any way we can. So we do that. And then we have our news. We just have a news update, about a 3 or 4 minute news update headed into that ag report. So we're doing that at the beginning of the segment. After that, we're on the phones. We're not moving off Rapid Fire Friday after that. All right. So stay with us through this break. If you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. And listen, if you have to leave us and you want to hear next hour, first of all, call the radio station and ask them if they can add the next hour or the TV station. That's number one. But remember our phone app. Download it. You can hear the other 2 hours. We'll be back right after this.
We will never compromise our principles and standards. We will never give away our freedom. We will never abandon our belief in God.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.
We in America should be grateful to God for the blessings He's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation, because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is Friday, Rapid Fire Friday, and we are going to get to your calls. We got a full board, but remember, you know, people drop, they lose a signal, keep trying. We're going to stay with phones right after news and the ag report, and then we'll be with phones for the next hour and 45 minutes. So make sure you stay with us on that. The news is coming up. I hope you saw the newscast last night, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Our news, FISM.TV. Make sure you check that out. And here's Sam Case to give us an update on what's going on here in the news. Hey, Sam.
Hey there, Dan. So the big news of the day is that President Joe Biden has tentatively agreed to a bipartisan infrastructure plan costing $1.2 trillion, because that's just what we do now. We spend trillions of dollars on just about every bill that we pass, and that will be over the next 8 years. 11 Republicans and 10 Democratic senators backed the deal. But Biden said he won't sign the bill unless Congress also passes a reconciliation bill that has a lot of goodies that Democrats like in it. I know, Dan, that you are relatively happy with this bill, that you say that the Republicans did stand their ground. And for you watching, if you would like a good breakdown of it, I don't have the information right in front of me, but if you go get the FISM app on Dan's 2 minutes, it's almost like a mini bite-sized FISM. Dan does a really good job breaking down what's in there, so I encourage you to go take a look at that.
Yeah, the interesting thing is they took out all the climate stuff that the intelligentsia of Hollywood wanted. They took all that out, but they're going to put that in a reconciliation bill.
I was just going to say, but
where
just,
the Republicans can't do a thing about it, and they're going to run it, ramrod it through. So, you know, we're still going to be paying for all that stuff. We're just not going to be seeing it like we're seeing the infrastructure stuff.
That's anyway. Right. So is it really a win? I don't know. There's
yeah,
a debate
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
Well, here's definitely not a win. This is still in politics. The Biden administration is reportedly to begin allowing migrants who were deported under the Trump administration for failing to attend their court hearings. This is something that Trump really got up in arms about, was migrants coming, claiming asylums, and then just running into the country, ignoring their court hearings. Well, Biden wants them to be able to restart their immigration process into the United States. So even though you were deported for failing to follow the process properly, Biden wants you to be able to do it again. I don't really know what the logic is there. If you didn't do it right the first time, what makes him think you're going to follow the rules this time? I'm not really sure. Biden's actions are part of his end to Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, which he's been gradually rolling back, which is required those seeking asylum to wait in Mexico while their documents were processed instead of entering the U.S., then waiting for your court hearing, than not going to your court hearing,
yeah,
as
right.
it so often happened. Biden's Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas blamed the lack of stable access to housing, income, and safety in Mexico for forcing many asylum seekers to abandon, quote, potentially meritorious protection claims, except a lot of them were actually in the United States. In other news, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is set to be sentenced today for his murder of George Floyd. Chauvin could face up to 40 years in prison, but legal experts are saying it could be more like 30 to 25, something along those lines. Chauvin was found guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter, and I believe his lawyer is looking to appeal in some way. So maybe he'll overturn it or at least get a lesser sentence. We'll have to stay tuned to see what goes on there. On the COVID front, the FDA has plans to add a warning about rare cases of heart inflammation in adolescents and young adults to fact sheets for mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines. Moderna did say they're aware of reports of this inflammation following their second dose, I believe it is, of their vaccine. Health regulators in several countries have been worried about this case of rare heart inflammation. The CDC said patients with heart inflammation following vaccination generally recover pretty well, and they note that it's extremely rare, but it is coming from the government, so do with that what you will. Do you really want to trust them with that? But it is good to know that at least they're acknowledging if there is a problem.
Well, there have been some documented cases of death
in
teenagers, two, for instance, and others. We know somebody that died 2 days from that after he got the vaccine, an older person. And, you know, during the SARS epidemic, they had two deaths and they suspended the vaccine. It was done. They didn't do it. Two deaths. And we've had countless. So, you know, and all the other shedding issues that are coming and the contagions that's coming from just being around people that have had the vaccines. And when we look at the experimental things that they're doing, it is incredible. So it looks to me like the CDC is throwing a bone out there to try to say that they've acknowledged it.
Well, so many people have been vaccinated already. That data is going to come out one way or another, I suppose, because this comes as the White House acknowledges, though it will likely fail to meet Biden's goal of delivering at least one dose to 70% of adults by July 4th. Remember, he said that you could maybe celebrate 4th of July if 70% of adults were vaccinated. Well, looks like 4th of July is canceled. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But they do say that Americans 27 and older will have met that goal. So, like I said, enough people have been vaccinated. We will find out one way or another how this is going to pan out.
Yeah, that's for certain. Okay, thanks, Sam. I appreciate it. Sam Case, FISM News, FISM.TV. Everything you heard Sam talk about is on the site, FISM.TV/news. Make sure you check it out. You should have it minimized at the bottom of your screen all day long so you can check it out. Here comes Craig Haggart with our Ag Report. We'll be back Rapid Fire Friday right after this.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update for June 25th. July corn was under pressure all day yesterday and closed lower, while the deferred futures rallied over 25 cents off their lows as we saw technical buying enter the market. And with that technical buying, it allowed new crop futures to end the day slightly higher. Weather is still the main feature in this market, but acreage is starting to get a lot more attention as we head into the June 30th planted acres report. Soybean price action was similar to corn, with the August futures rebounding nearly 35 cents off their low for the day, but they still closed down 12 cents for the session. Soybean oil had a pretty positive day, closing higher for the fifth consecutive session. And from a demand side of things, we did have the sale of 132,000 metric tons of beans sold to China yesterday. And we also had the announcement of another sale of 260,000 metric tons, that to an unknown destination. On the world stage, we had a report from the International Grains Council that left world soybean production estimate unchanged at 383 million metric tons. Wheat continued to feature a strong spring wheat market, while Chicago and Kansas City winter wheat futures were lower for the day. Minneapolis futures closed higher as they continued to work back towards their old life of contract highs. On the international scene, the International Grains Council lowered their world wheat production estimate by 1 million metric tons, while in Russia, Sovikon increased their estimate of the Russian wheat crop by 200,000 metric tons, up to a projected 84.6 million metric tons. Cotton futures saw both old and new crop futures close lower for the session. At the finish, we had December futures 21 points lower, closing at 86.73. Livestock futures were mixed. At the close, August live cattle were 25 cents lower, while August feeder cattle were up $1.45 at the closing bell. Lean hog futures had another pretty rough outing, with the July futures down $2, 2.5 cents for the day. We also had the USDA quarterly hogs and pigs report yesterday, and that came about as expected. It showed all hogs and pigs at 97.8% of year-ago numbers. The trade was estimating they'd come in at 97.7. Kept for breeding was at 98.5 versus the trade estimate of 98.8. And kept for marketing was 97.7 versus a trade estimate of 97.5. Class 3 milk futures reverted back to their losing ways yesterday, with July futures slightly lower, while the surrounding futures months were down more substantially. At the close, July futures were 3 points lower, settling at 16.57. Meat cutout values were mixed. We had choice box beef $4.63 lower, closing at $307.42. Select boxes were up 73 cents as they settled at $276.14. And pork carcass cutout values were up fairly sharply. They closed $5.17 higher as they ended the day at $112.99 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Let me go to phones. Let me go to Dave. Dave's calling us from Iowa. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I got a piece of ground that's in a trust. There's five other siblings, but I'm wondering whether I should hang it to agricultural rentable ground, whether I should hang on to it or sell it and invest it, hang on to it, rent it out. 65, won't retire till I'm 72.
What's is the ground being used?
Yeah, it's been rented out for 15, 20 years.
Okay.
Before we quit farming.
Yeah. Does the trust make enough money to pay the taxes and get a little out of it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah.
I would hang on to it.
You'd have to gain probably 4% or invest and gain 4% a year to equal the rent problem. Oh.
Yeah, I would hang on to it.
Okay.
You know, it has potential of being a very important piece of property and a very desirable piece of property. Probably, if it gets to the point where it becomes extremely important and desirable, will probably be the time you'll never want to get rid of it, which would make sense. What are they growing on it?
Soybeans, corn, Midwest.
Okay. So, I would hang on to it, as you know, almost at all costs, I would hang on to it.
Okay. I appreciate the advice. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Glad you called.
Good.
I appreciate
Good.
It. Thank Take you. Let me go to Ann. Ann's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Ann.
Hi. I have an annuity, and I wanted to know
How do I, should I leave that to my children or what I do about it? I don't need the money. It's earning 3% and will until 2025. It's with Talcott Resolution.
I for now, I would leave it alone. It's earning 3%. I may think about it when, as you watch and hear things like interest rates going up to 3%, then it may be worthwhile moving out. The problem, is it an IRA annuity, do you know?
No, it's a non-qualifying.
And how long have you had it, Ann?
I opened it in 07, okay. And I'm quite up in age, but like I say, I do not need the money unless something traumatic happens.
Sure. I would leave it alone. I would leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look.
As far as leaving it to the children, is it all right to just make them beneficiaries or would I
No, make them beneficiaries of it.
Okay, and I also have investments, and I put them as beneficiaries on those accounts. Is that the way to do it, or am I better off with a trust? Or
It really depends on how much you have. Do you have, is it over $2 million?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I would just do that. I think that's fine.
Do it as beneficiaries, and that's as good a way to do it as any.
Yes.
Okay, that helps me so much. I really appreciate it. And God bless your ministry, and thank you for, I've seen you speak in Richmond, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't do much with, I'm a member, but this new stuff is hard for older people. I get real hard time after I get on your website trying to find anything. But I do get your report every week, and I read that, and you just keep up the good work.
I'll do it. Thank you, Ann.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Thank you for your encouragement. All right, 610. 610-363-1110 if you want to queue your call up. Let me go to Elliot in Florida. Hey, Elliot. We don't have Elliot. Okay. Let me go to Sherry in, I can't read that, Nebraska. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. This is a call for my mama. We lost my dad in January, and I'm in charge of helping her with the money. And she doesn't know what she's going to do. She doesn't know if she's going to sell her house. She doesn't know if she's going to buy into a retirement community. She just doesn't know. So she's got $62,000 that's sitting in the bank right now, earning nothing. Do you have advice? Should we leave it there? She can't lose this, but it'd be nice to earn something on it.
Yeah, it's really a tough call because it is hard to really earn something significant or not even not so significant. It's really hard to do that without putting it at risk. And I don't think this is a good time to put it at risk. I would like to see somebody else's name on it, or ideally, that would be a good thing to do. Ideally, even give it to... If your siblings are trustworthy to give it away now, and have it in their names, knowing that it is for her, and everybody keep it in a money market account should she need it. I mean, I think that would be a great thing to do. There is a 5-year look back period on that, but if something ever happened where she had go in a nursing facility or anything, or maybe that's not even in the cards.
I don't know. Yeah,
but something to think about anyway. But yeah,
we're beneficiaries on this, her bank accounts. But you think she should explain that again?
If she were to get ill and get into skilled nursing or something, that money will have to be spent down. In other words, you're going to have to use all of that to pay for her care before she goes on to Medicaid. So by not having it in her name, then Medicaid would kick in right away as opposed to waiting. So that's the difference. So that's the only reason I say that. Something to think about.
Okay, but it's kind of like 5 years from now, if she didn't need it,
exactly,
then it'd be sheltered, kind of. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay, but I don't want to do her wrong by not putting it somewhere, but I told her we can't lose this money. We don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, so it's too risky. It is too risky. Okay, you're thinking absolutely right. And so that's the right way to look at it.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right, Sherry.
Your wisdom. We appreciate it.
Oh, okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye. I'm glad you called. Let me go to, is it Sissy from Ohio?
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So the other day I walked away from the radio for a minute and I came back and you were talking about, I think, strong dollar, and I think you mentioned Norwegian currency. I just didn't catch enough of it, but I know sometimes you suggest holding other currencies. Was it something like that?
No, it wasn't. I was just talking about something that the Norwegian Central Bank decided to raise interest rates. And I was talking about how strong their dollar is and how strong their currency is. And that is why, because the Norwegian Central Bank, Norway has the wealthiest sovereign wealth fund in the world. Everybody is in debt. Norway has more money and they know what to do with. So they're very smart about investing their money, and they're very smart about keeping their currency very strong. So I was just commenting on, you know, what a difference it makes when you have a central banker that is so decisive and says, I don't care what everybody else is doing. We're going to do what's right for Norway. And they've always been like that, and it's served them very, very well, as it would anybody if they would just do it. But so I might have mentioned there's a currency if you want to own it, if you want to own a foreign currency. But it has maintained its strength for a lot of years. So, you know, but I've always said Norway, Swiss, Singapore, used to say New Zealand, that has weakened a bit. But, you know, there's some really strong currencies out there that would never hurt to own, not as an investment, but as kind of a safety hedge should something happen with, severely happen with our purchasing power of our own currency, then you would at least be able to have some purchasing power for, you know, until you ran out of that currency. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for clarifying,
sure,
and I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
God bless.
God bless you. Let me go. How much time do we have? Let me go. By the way, folks, we have lines open. Let me go to Bill in Oklahoma. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Dan. I listen to you every day. I'm over 70, and I've got, I still own my own business, although it's small. In a smaller town, and I've got money in a 401 and an IRA, and there's talk about you know, the government trying to come in and take it away. And what is there anything that any action I can take? Somebody said something about self-directed IRAs might be an option, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. What do you think?
Yeah, I would just say that. No, self-direct is not going to make any difference because it still falls under qualified money.
That's what I figured.
So it's not going to accomplish anything. It gives you more options, mm-hmm. and I love self-directed for that reason, but it's not, mm-hmm. it's not a, you know, it's not going to help. The only thing you can really do, Bill, is, you know, to gradually begin to little by little move some of that money out and over to an investment account, just a regular old investment account. And yes, you'll have to pay tax on it. Are you to the point where, are you 72 yet, where you have to take minimum required distribution?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have that you can do. And what I would suggest is that you do a little more. So let's say they say you have to take, you know, $100, you know, try to take 200 or whatever, you know, you don't have to double, but try to take as much money out as you can bear to pay the tax. You know, your taxes, by doing that now, you know, you're saving money because your taxes are only going to go up. And so I would suggest that everybody do that. Just start moving some of that out. You're welcome. Thank you, Bill. All right, folks. 610-363-1110. We got one line open. We're just going to stay with phone calls here for the next hour and a half. We'll be back. We're going to get back to phones. It is Rapid Fire Friday. We're trying to move as quick as we can. We ask you to get right to the point. And we sure would appreciate it. All right, let me go to Elliot. Elliot's calling us from Florida. Hi, Elliot.
Hello. I'm sorry. I lost the call before. I got a question. I got a traditional IRA through a regular bank, and it seems like they told me, well, you can have minimum distribution 59.5 or 70. I'm 62 right now, and then they told me 70. So I guess it's 70, right?
No, minimum. So the minimum required by the IRS, minimum required distribution is now 72.
They now, put 2 years more on it.
Yes, they did. So, and anything before that, where they're talking about 59.5, means you can take a distribution at any time without any penalties. You still have to pay tax on it, but you won't have the penalties. So you can take money out anytime you want. Yep.
Right. Well, 72, I don't have to pay tax. I do, though.
No, you do. You still have to pay tax.
Okay.
Yeah, so you still have to pay the tax. Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
So,
no.
So don't, no reason to wait till 72 then, I guess.
No. I mean, I would start taking it and saving it, or, you know, putting it in something else, getting it out of the IRA. So I would tell you to take whatever you can bear to take. The only thing I would caution you on, and not really a caution, but if you are a giver, maybe you give to your church, you give to other ministries. If you are a giver, then I would get a checkbook from that account. They'll give you a checkbook. They should. I don't know if the bank will. Brokers do. But and you can do your giving from there and avoid paying tax on that money, and then keep the money in your checking account and other places that you usually would do that giving from. So it's a way to get money out of there tax-free.
Right. So, right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Minimum comment.
Yeah.
Governor DeSantis actually passed a law in Tallahassee blocking Chinese intervention in the education system with a certain subject matter that criticizes America with all the evils of America, et cetera.
Right.
I wish most other governors would do that.
You know what? It's kind of almost hard to believe that every other governor wouldn't do it. I don't understand why. I mean, it's hard to believe that they might need to be coaxed to do that. Now, I understand that some of these states benefit a great deal from China. I would suspect Florida does to a certain extent. But Governor DeSantis is going to do what's right for his state and his people in his state, and that's the way it should be. So I don't understand it either.
Right.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, thank you, Elliot.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
I appreciate
it. I'll let you go, because I know you're fat. You're going fast.
Yeah, trying anyway. Yeah, that's right. You called. Thank you. All right, God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. Let me go to AJ in Texas.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, thank you for all that you do for us. My wife and I have been listening to you for a little while. We're calling from Conroe, Texas.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
I'm just trying to, we sold our house. We lived in Cumberland Crossing in Porter. We sold our house and back in May. Then we finally were able to close on some property
4.5 acres in Cleveland, Texas, around October. We're in, with intentions to build, but man, nowadays with prices in construction materials,
from
the time we got our estimate to the time that we had decided to build, construction materials went up $20,000 to $25,000.
Right.
So now we're just in a we have a 6 month old little boy, and you know we live in our 8x24 RV,
mm-hmm.
so not much room there for him to start crawling and whatnot. So should we try to sell this property, the 4.5 acres, and find a regular subdivision house like we were in before, or should we keep the property and put a mobile home on it? And if the property has no utilities on it.
Yeah, so I would say that, well, first, one thing is, I think building costs are going to start coming down dramatically over the next 3 months. Lumber has come down over 15% in the last 2 weeks. I don't know what it is on the year, but it's in the 20s. Lumber is becoming more readily available because all the hoarders, those greedy people that are trying to hold it back so the prices go up and up, are getting burnt big time, and they're moving as quick as they can to get it out of their yard and out to the building sites. So I think we're going to start seeing supply increase dramatically and prices start to drop. And I would say the same for durable goods and other things that have been scarce. A lot of the scarcity in the last 4 months have been hoarding, as a result of hoarding more than anything, and that's all starting to stop. So I don't know what you do, though, to bide your time for another 3 or 4 months before you can start building. So I don't know if that's an option. I'd hate to see you give up a piece of land, and maybe it may be worth trying to find a place to rent, if that's a possibility, even an apartment, just to give you a reprieve so that you can rent it, wait it out for a year, and then start building. I wouldn't let go of your dream and hopes there for that 4 acres of property. I just feel like if you can hang in there with maybe renting, I just think it would be better for you, for your family. So, but I understand. Yes, you are thinking correctly. If you're thinking, well, I can't hang in there, maybe I should just buy in a development. Yeah, that would be your option, is to sell this and buy in a development. I just would hate to see you do that.
Okay, so mainly the bottom line is just hang on
to the
property.
Yeah, hang on as long as you can. Hopefully you'll get that house built and maybe look at renting an apartment. For a year or so. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Alrighty. Hope that helps you.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, AJ. I'm glad you called. Right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Sure thing. Bye-bye. Let me go to Robert in Texas. Hey, Robert. Oh, Barry. Barry in Iowa. Hey, Barry.
Hi. How you doing, Dan?
Good morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I have a 401k at work. I'm 59 and a half, and it's being managed by Fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been talking with them, and I'm just wondering, should I leave it with them and just take it out of the 401k and let them follow their advice to where to put it, or should I get a local financial institution, or what do you think?
I would stick with Fidelity, but when you say take it out, you mean move it into an investment account? Is that a lot of money?
It's about $450,000.
Yeah, so you...
I meant it's like put it into... from the 401k into like...
An IRA.
Something a little bit lower risk.
Yeah. Well, So I would you would put it into an IRA, and then the lower risk comes by not the type of account, but by what you have it in. You know, what are your investments? So if you right. only want to accomplish a little more preservation, preserve what you've gained and have some lower risk, I would check to see if you can do it where you are. You might be able to do it through your IRA, but you know, but you're limited to the menu of options that they give you. So they say, right. well, here's 20 mutual funds. You can do anything you want, but you might not be able to do that. So if you are thinking, hey, I want to, you know, I've worked hard. I want to preserve this principal, and I want to preserve the gains that I've made over the last 3 years. I don't want to see them get whittled away when I could be, you know, 3 or 4 years away from retirement. I don't know what your situation is there, how much longer you're planning on working. But so in that case, I would roll it over. Does your company match what you put in?
Right. They do up to 6%.
So they would allow you to roll it over, but still contribute your 6% to it.
Right. I would still can.
Okay. I got you.
Retire at 62.
Okay. Yeah. So I would do just that. I would talk to Fidelity, tell them what you want to do. You want to open up a, you know, a traditional IRA account and roll that money over to that IRA account. And then you can do that. I would rather see you stay with Fidelity. Make sure you let them know these are the words to use. Let them know that your goal is preservation of principal. Okay? Your goal is all preservation right. of principal. Make sure you let them know that.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome, Robert. All right, folks. 610-363-1110. We're coming up on a break. We'll be back. We got a line open. We'll be back right after this.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
All right, we're heading back to phone 610-363-1110. Let me go back to Robert, or go to Robert from Texas. Hey, Robert.
Yes, Dan. I have a Fidelity account, IRA, and my question is, I'm fixing to be 66 and a half, and I'm going to be drawing my Social Security. I'm just concerned about the volatility, and I was thinking about moving into the Christian Credit Union and to keep it safe, because I don't know when I'm going to be taking it out.
Yes. If you have a Fidelity account, is that what you said you had?
Yes, sir. I have a IRA.
Yeah. So, you can put it in CDs at Fidelity, too. Don't forget. Is what? Go ahead.
They're not very. They don't pay out too much. My question: do you think I should just leave it where it's at, or take that chance of?
I don't think leaving it where it is the issue. I think it's what it's in, what you're investing in. It's not where it is. It's what you're investing in. So you're worried about it going down, and you know you don't want it to. You know you don't want to lose anything. And if you don't feel safe, that's got nothing to do with Fidelity.
Right.
With Fidelity, you're going to be able to be biblically responsible, and you're going to be able to invest things where you can get a little bit more, but you can't. The reason I said that is because when you said Christian Community Credit Union, I assumed you wanted to just put it in CDs, so to protect it. But you're right. You're not going to earn much. You're not going to earn anything practically. And that was what my thought was. Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well just stay where you are. Tell them you want to put it in CDs. They're FDIC insured CDs, and they can do that. But if you're trying to, if you want to earn a little more, mm-hmm. Then you need to do something else, and you're going to have far more options to do something else at Fidelity, because you're going to be able to go into, let's just say you want to move it over into an inflation protected bond fund. It's not going to earn much, but it's going to do better than CDs. Maybe you get 1.5%, depends on what inflation does. But, you know, so you're going to do a little better, and it's going to be extremely conservative. I'm not saying it can't go down. It could, but if it does go down, it's going to be very, very little. So I mean, so there are things like that you can do there to try to kind of preserve your principal. And you're going to have a lot more options there. So,
all right.
But if you want CDs and you want to protect it, then yeah, I would consider either Christian Community Credit Union or Fidelity, but you probably get better rates at a credit union. But you're going to be stuck there. You're not going to be able to do any investing. So Christian Community Credit Union doesn't have an investment side. They have somebody that they tell you about that's an invest, but they're not, you'd be very limited as to what you could do. They wouldn't be biblically responsible, and they'd probably push you towards annuities. So,
all right. You know what? Maybe I'll just sort of keep it where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, I don't know what you're in. If you want to look and call me back and say, hey, I'm in this, this, and this, I might say, I don't think you ought to do that. You might want to think about moving it. But move it, not moving your account, just moving where, what it's invested
sure.
in. Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. That makes a lot of sense. I thank you for that. Okay.
All right.
Maybe I'll give them a call and see what I'm in, and I'll get back to you.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye.
Yep. So I know I say that often. I don't want to I reiterate it all the time, but we just, it's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly normal for you to kind of not understand that. But remember, an IRA account is no more safer than a CD if it's just in a money market account. It depends on what it's in. Everything's about investments. So you hear me say, I don't care where you go. You can go to Fidelity, you can go to Schwab, you can go to TD Ameritrade, you can go to Interactive Brokers, you can go to Timothy, it doesn't matter. It's not about what it's in. First thing and foremost, you want that conviction of your heart. You want to be in biblically responsible stuff. Number one, I hope everybody's thinking like that by now that follows along with us. So you want to be biblically responsible. So that's number one. Secondly, you may want to be very aggressive. You may want to be very conservative. You're okay with risk. I'm not okay with risk. You may want to be in CDs and earn practically nothing, but know that your money's not going to go down. You may be 2 years away from retirement and you're saying, listen, I want to preserve this principal because I'm going to start living off of this. So you might need to move it into an income portfolio that's got good solid stocks that are generating dividends. So it really... I don't mean to never tell anybody I try to give people all the information and help them digest it. But I just as a digestion point, remember it's about what you're in, not who's holding what it's in. So you can be in E-Trade and have all your money sitting in a money market account. Perfectly safe, not earning anything. So you can also be in E-Trade and have some emerging market fund from some country you've never heard of that is extremely volatile, or you can be in, a large corporation or utility company or oil company or whatever you know where it is, you know the company, and it may not be quite as violently volatile as it would be in that emerging market fund that's only got, $150 million in it. So it's all about what and where. It's not about where, it's about what you're in that makes the difference. Because whatever you're in at E-Trade, you can be in that in Fidelity. Whatever you're in Fidelity, you can be in that in Schwab or E-Trade or TD Ameritrade. So it's the name on the account, who's holding the account, is irrelevant. It's about doing the right thing and where you're putting it. Let me go to Tony in Virginia. Hey, Tony.
Dan, thanks for who you are. Thanks for what you do. And thanks for the Bible study this morning. I've had UT82 for a long time. You recently added UT89. Is there any chance you're going to be adding UT82 back to the buy list, or is that just a hold? I'm not thinking about new money. I'm thinking about exchange.
Yeah, so, it's still a hold. Nothing wrong with it. It's good company. So you're holding that. But if you are looking for exchanging or adding to, if you are thinking about, UT 82 is kind of, it's just one of those ones I'd probably never move or sell. I'd leave it alone. It's always a very consistent income producer. It always will. I like where it is right now. So I don't know that I'd want you to move any money out of it. I really like UT33. That is one that hasn't been on my buy list in a very long time, but it's a good one. And all of them now on my buy list, so on my buy list, are good. I mean, UT74 has been on my buy list for a year, I think, or more. I mean, it's been, you know, it's good, solid company, income producing, has done well. So I think it's good to diversify away from that, but I don't know that I would give much of it up.
Very good. Appreciate your help.
All right, Tony, glad you called. Thank you for your partnership. I sure appreciate your encouragement. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, 610-363-1110. Can we get to Art quickly? Go ahead, Art.
Oh, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I have two questions. We have a variable annuity with Talcott Resolution. We've had that for some time now, since, I believe, 96. We're getting a 3% fixed return every year with that annuity. I'm just wondering if it's still a safe place to keep my money.
I'll say this. You're not going to get 3% anywhere else if you don't want to take any risk. And you're like, is it safe? It's okay. I mean, no. I mean, I wouldn't say there is still there's still chance of losses there. There's still that opportunity if things got really bad. And so I wouldn't say that, you know, all investments have some risk of loss. So even though the 3% is guaranteed, it's based on a variable kind of situation that could be concerning. It's hard to walk away from 3% if you're trying to be somewhat safe when you can't get 3% anywhere else. So, but look, it's always going to have some risk to it. And if you've had it a long time and you've never wavered, it's never wavered. The product is never wavered. It means it's one of those old annuities that they hate because they can't make any money off of, that they don't sell anymore. So it may be worth keeping, but, you know, it's going to have risk. I mean, you know, we're in very volatile times, but less risk maybe than some other things, unless they were to go bankrupt, which I don't know them that well to look at their credit rating, but you might want to look at that and see where their credit rating is. All right, folks, I know some of you got to leave. We got another hour left. If you got to leave, I hope you have a wonderful day of worship on Sunday, a great weekend, a chance to relax. Maybe this weekend is the week that you kick off your vacation. If that's true, I hope you have a great time. Again, a great day of worship. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Jesus,
more financial
said,
issues right after
sell
this.
Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, follow me. It's not your money I want your heart.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.